We have Dr. Randy Clark in the house with us this morning. Come on. And we have, this is my wife, Johanna. We have the honor and privilege of introducing your dad, my father-in-law. So,
yes, I have the honor to introduce my dad and cry in front of you all. So, yeah, my dad is the most amazing man, and so are you. I want you to just to expect and to know that you are going to leave recharged and filled up, and his heart is just to ignite fires in all of you, and that you would experience the love of God, and that you would be touched. And I've been able to watch that my whole life at home and traveling with him, just seeing his passion and his faith for Jesus. I tell people this all the time. For my dad and my mom, just watching them love Jesus and pursue him no matter what and follow him with being full of faith. It's the best gift that I could have been given, because I am walking knowing that my father loves me so much and that my father loves me so much more. And I'm just full of faith, and I want you to leave here today feeling filled up, full of faith, that he would give, his words would be just like an impartation, that you would leave here with what you need, whatever you need. That's my prayer.
Yeah. She really does love him. When we first got married and we would get in a fight, she goes, "I'm calling my dad." I was like, she still kind of says that sometimes. But for me, the first year we were married, I woke up one morning and I felt like I almost heard the audible voice of God say, "Be about your father's business." And I just started working at Life Center at the time. And I said, "God, I am. I'm working for my dad. I'm working for Charles and Uncle Bri. I have lots of fathers." And he said, "No, it's your father-in-law. You're supposed to serve him." And so I called Randy. I said, "I feel like I'm just supposed to serve you." And you said, "Okay." So I traveled with you for about a year, and I've been in so many Randy Clark meetings, and it's not really where I received my impartation. It was off stage behind closed doors, long nights in airports or late nights in hotel rooms. Just you always being transparent, you being the same exact person off this stage as you are on. And I know that everybody here, you're going to receive an inheritance this morning if your heart is open. So I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would open every heart in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand and welcome a man we call Father, Papaw, but for you, it's Dr. Randy Clark.
Don't step off the stage yet. I really feel that you will spend your lives not only David leading worship, but there will be opportunity to stand on stages and address large crowds as a couple, each one having their own message. And there's a gift on you to be articulate and to flow with the Spirit. And I just want to say that when the opportunities come, you'll know it was prophesied it would happen. As I said in the morning message, my daughter didn't have a chance to talk without crying, because that's what I do when God touches me. It's what my wife does when God touches her. My daughter didn't have a chance. It's what my mom did. It's what my dad did. Holy tears. I love holy laughter, and I love holy tears. I love holy shaking. I love holy jerks. I love it all. I just love God and his presence. Well, before I begin the message, I wanted to say I'm going to give these books away, and I'd like to give them to members of your staff. Anybody that's on salary here at Life Center, you're included in this. So this book is on spiritual gifts handbook. It's about spiritual gifts. I'm co-author with a leading Roman Catholic scholar, reports directly to the Pope, and Dr. Mary Healy. And so it gives you a perspective on the whole church all the way back to the beginning, not just the 1517. So this is that one. And then there is more about the impartation. It's a little bit about, it's like this morning's message on steroids, actually. because there's just no way I have time to go through all the scripture and everything I'd like to. This book I wrote a couple years ago. It's Baptized in the Spirit, and it goes through not only all the scriptures about baptism in the Spirit and all the other views about baptism in the Spirit, it also looks at it from a historical perspective all the way back to the first and second and third century and on through church history. And then this was the first book I wrote, and it's about what God was doing in my life to get me ready for Toronto, and then what happened at Toronto, and what happened within the first year or two after Toronto. So, you all know who you are, and so come and get it. Holy Spirit one, that one, baptism, which, all right. Now, the best for last. This is about 13 booklets and 15 audio files that's on this, so you can see the PDF of the books, all of them. It's all of my major messages that I preach around the world. And it's also, not only can you transfer it to your computer, your iPhones or your smartphones, whatever, but you can also listen to it. So I only have one of these. And so, Charles, I'm going to give it to you, and you can keep it or give it to whoever you want. So there you go. You're welcome. This morning, I had a word of knowledge in the first service. And when you have two services, you don't know if it's for the first or second service, but I forgot to give it in the first service, so maybe it's for the second service. And then a while ago, I got another one. I get most of my words of knowledge, about 80%, by feeling the pain in my body when it's not my pain. And so one of them was in the left hip, starting about here and coming down through here, and maybe even in here. It was just pain in the left hip on this side. So I don't know if that person was okay. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. I pray for these two things all at once. I believe God's going to heal you while you're here, even as you try to move. And then the other one a while ago, it was for this service, was someone has a problem. I don't know what it is, but it's in the skull. And it's right through here. It's behind your left ear and running this way. And there's either something there that shouldn't be there, there's a problem, or there's just pain that you get. And you may not understand why, but who's that? It has some. Okay, now I actually knew Holly had a problem, but you didn't tell me where. I know, but you didn't tell me that, did you? I mean, you told me a while ago you had a problem with an artery in your brain, but I wasn't making that connection, and I didn't know where it was at. So I just want to, so that's exactly, so Holly, you ought to be encouraged. I'm encouraged. I mean, wow. Anybody else have that? Just see. Anybody else have that problem? Okay. Everybody that has one of those problems, stand up. Either the hip or the thing right here. All right. God's about to heal you. Some of it will manifest right now. Some of it you won't know until you go back to the doctor, you know, to have a test. But some of you, a lot of you are going to be able to know. So, Father, I just thank you for these words. I thank you for the sovereignty involved in healing. And I thank you, and I come in agreement with your word. You watch over your word to bring it to pass. And I bless every man and every woman that have stood to their feet because they have one of these conditions. In the authority of the name of Jesus, I command the pain to leave in the hip. And I speak regeneration in the hip and whatever's causing the pain for it to be dealt with by the power, the creative power of the Holy Spirit to flow through their hip in the name of Jesus. I command all the pain and the problem that in the head behind the left ear to be healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I bless them in Jesus' name. Now, check it out. If it hurts your hip to move, or if you just had pain constantly, check it out. If you were having pain, Or if there's a way you could know, and I know that for some of you couldn't know, but you might have felt God's power come upon you then. But just check it out. Let's start with the hips. How many of you just raised your hand? It was the issue of the hip. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. 4. All right. Check it out. Don't sit down yet. Check it out. Try. If you need to walk, if you need to do something, check it out. Because it's often in the act of trying to do what you can't, you find out that's when you're healed. If you're at least 80% better, pain's gone down, movement's restored in this area of the hip, wave both hands over your head. Here's one. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else that's looking in the hip area? Thank you, Lord. Somebody else? Wait. 2. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now, let's, for the pain behind your, I need to ask, would you know if you were healed? Was it constant pain, or would you have to have a test to know? You'd have to have a test. Anybody else? You'd have to have a test. It's gone. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And Holly, I believe when you go, you're going to find it healing. The swelling's gone. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you as well. It's gone. It's gone. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. All right. Now, it's exciting to know that you can live your life naturally and suddenly because God reveals something to you. You can, whether you're a pastor, a lawyer, a carpenter, a mechanic, a housewife, a storekeeper, or retail person, it doesn't make any difference. In that moment, because God just doesn't limit when he gives these things to when you're in church. And it makes life so exciting to all of a sudden realize God of the universe just spoke into my life. I remember when I fried donuts for a year to start the church in St. Louis, I saw more people get healed in the Kroger stores than I did in the church we were starting. And almost every one of them didn't know the Lord yet. And he was using their healing to bring them to him. And so it's exciting. It's what we call the more abundant life. It's what's called the eternal life, which means more than everlasting. It means life on another level. Another quality of life. To think God that created the universe talks to you through different ways. You got to learn how his language, but it's different ways for different people. Now, I need to give an invitation for salvation, rededication, which is also another word for rededication. And sometimes you're not backslidden, but you're kind of lukewarm, what I call consecration. Sometimes God sovereignly comes upon people who don't even want to be touched. That's more the exception than the rule. The rule is God looks upon people who consecrate their life, who want to be used, who want to be just sold out for God, and sees they put their life on the altar, and then the fire falls on the sacrifice that's put on the altar. Phoebe Palmer led a whole movement of holiness where she got a hold of this truth. It's not the sacrifice that sanctifies the altar, but it's the altar that sanctifies the sacrifice. And so she would teach people, it's called the shorter way. If you, as Bill Bright kind of has this same teaching in the 4 spiritual laws for salvation. But anyway, if you consecrate your life to God, if you give your life to God, you don't look to the feelings, you look to the fact of what his word says. Believe the fact, feelings follow. Now he approached that for salvation. Phoebe Palmer approached it for sanctification, or experiencing a work of God in your life that just brings you into a more victorious life where there's more power in it. We also, now, in the era of believing in the gifts of the Spirit of for today, which has been now for about 120 years, know that sometimes it's in that experience of complete surrender that it attracts the presence of God and people begin to have expressions of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But you got to get saved first. You got to give your life to God first, initially. Now, I know that the majority have already done that. But I just want everybody under the sound of my voice today to be a candidate for God to show up on. And I know that if you've not surrendered your life to Him, you're not a candidate, because He fills those who have said yes to Him. He fills. Now, there are exceptions, very rare exceptions, where He just comes upon people before they're even saved and just sovereignly saves them. And they start being filled with the Spirit right in that moment, but that's rare. Most of the time, it's those who've said yes. Now, so my invitation is not just to let you know that you're going to have eternal life instead of eternal death, to let you know that you're looking at heaven, not Gehenna, hell, which is the second death, to let you know that there is life more abundantly. That's all wonderful. But if it's only because we don't want to go to hell and we want to go to heaven, that can be quite self-seeking in a way, or we could say fire insurance. So I'm not peddling fire insurance this morning. I'm offering you eternal life. I'm offering you a more abundant life. I'm offering you the reality that the God of the universe can come and be inside of you. And I'm not going to ask you to come to the front because we don't have enough time to do it the way we'd normally do it. But I am going to ask everybody to stand. And I believe, because my message at the end of it is not going to be suitable to give an invitation for what we're talking about now. It's going to be, come Holy Spirit, and so we want to get you ready. Now, Patty Leach on the front row up here, if you give your life to God in this prayer for the first time, or you've been away, like someone a while ago in the first service had been away from the Lord for 32 years, and a little 9-year-old boy was weeping as God touched him, and he's sharing with Patty that he'd given his life to the Lord. So it was kind of two spectrums, salvation and rededication. Or maybe you've spent most of your Christian life, I believe, and I've been born again, but I've been defeated most of my life. I've not lived the abundant life. I've not lived the victorious life. And you want more of God, and God wants more of you. And so I want to give you that chance for either three of those, salvation, rededication, or consecration. God, I know I'm compromised and I want to forsake the sin that's so easily been besetting me so that I can live victoriously. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would just move upon the people now and touch them in the name of Jesus. Draw them, give them faith that they can have this eternal life. Give them faith that they can be living in such a way that they hear you more clearly, see what you're doing, their gifts flow through them in Jesus' name. God, that you've put that you justify them so that you can then fill them with your Holy Spirit. We pray that the Spirit that comes in us in a new birth wouldn't come upon us in Jesus' name in the latter part of this message. In the name of Jesus. Now, if you want to be included in this prayer of surrender and coming to Jesus for the first time, being born again, I'm going to ask that you'd bow your head and agree with me in prayer for this very short prayer. If you say, man, I've never really been born again, converted. I was years ago, but I've backslidden. I need to come back to God. Or I have really not lived my life in victory. And it's mainly, it's not God's issue, it's my issue of surrendering all. And I want to pray that prayer this morning. Then I'm going to ask you to bow your head. And if that's not you, keep your head up and just agree in prayer with an unbowed head. Father, thank you for drawing. Thank you for giving faith. Thank you for giving people faith to believe that you will forgive them. So I bless everyone who's agreeing with me in prayer right now, and they're saying, God, I give you my life, I repent of my sin, and I ask you to forgive me of the sins that I've committed in my life. And I ask for that experience of being born again. And Lord, if for those that are backslidden, I pray, God, in Jesus' name, we say we're coming home like a prodigal son. Even though we may have been living a double life, we're forsaking that and asking God for the grace and the fire and the power of God to be in our lives that we can live victoriously. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before you're seated, if you prayed one of those two prayers and needing, you know, I wasn't saved, or I was not walking with God, I was backslidden, that you'd lift your hand, that you prayed that prayer, and that was the condition you were in. There's one. We had several this morning. There's some in the balcony. Yes, thank you, Lord. Several more here. Thank you, God. There's no shame with this. This is all grace. You know, we celebrate what you're doing. And I would ask that you we need an app that we really do. I told the guys that it's sin. They need an app for those, not only who got saved, but for those who got healed and those who got filled, to be able to text it. So we don't have the app, but please try and let Patty know so we can know what happened, and also that she can, if it's first time, can instruct you in what you need to do. You may be seated, and the first thing you need to do is an act of obedience. This first time there's a baptismal service, get baptized. All right, now I want to start the message, and I forgot to ask, when does it normally get over normal? 12:45, okay, all right. So, 36 years ago, when I was 32 years old, I met John Wimber. I was discouraged, and I was a pastor of a very small Baptist church. There's no reason for him to have said this, and this I'm talking about, not my desert, what I was worthy of, but the grace of God and the sovereignty of God. And John told me later, when he met me, he heard the audible voice of God, the first two times we met, and he only heard it five times his whole life, that said, speaking about myself, this young man, one day, I'm going to send him around the world, and I'm going to use him to pray for people, to see gifts activated, and for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. As a result of that, he asked me to follow him around in the United States and ask him questions and all. 10 years later, Toronto broke out, and John Wimber called me, and he said, Randy, what God showed me about you 10 years ago to the month starts now. I didn't deserve it, but I have to say that when God would begin to work in my life, I would turn toward him. We talked about it in the first service. It's the attitude of Moses when he's in the desert. And maybe you feel like in the spiritual, you might have been in the desert recently. And in the desert, he saw the bush that was on fire. He could have ignored it. Don't ignore the flaming bush in your life in whatever way he lets you know. This is me. He turned toward it. He honored what it was, the presence of God, and took his shoes off. So God is looking for that sense of understanding. This is God. This is a divine appointment. I'm going to turn toward it. I'm going to honor it. So when I usually preach here once a year, and I usually teach on healing. But actually, impartation is the most important call in my life. It's multiplication. A few weeks ago, I spoke at the Sin. 160 some odd thousand in two stadiums that were full, and one in Brasilia that was half full, two in São Paulo that were full. 160,000, I looked out, you know, it was like 80,000 the one that I was preaching in, along with many other people. And one of the things that touched me was that backstage, about a third of everyone who was getting up to speak had been touched in one of our meetings. One of the key guy who raised 85% of the $4 million to do that one day had been touched in a youth power invasion in Brazil as a Brazilian when he was 18 years old. And his organizer, Chinese guy, his organizer had been touched in the same meeting when he was 15 years old. I was both Americans, worship leaders, preachers. It was like a third of them. I looked and I said, and they were saying, I was a teenager when you came to my church. So many of them were saying, I was a teenager when you came to my church. I shared this morning, you can't live on your mom and dad's faith. There are no grandchildren in the kingdom, only children. I remember when Johanna was 13 years old. And she went to Colorado, had a youth event. And she came back, and I remember she was so excited, and she got up Sunday, and she kind of told her testimony, kind of told it in the sense it was kind of hard to hear what she's saying because she's crying so hard, you know, just, you know. But she had said, I've heard mom and dad talk about how God was real to them and about the Holy Spirit and their experiences. And I grew up hearing that. But now I have my own. Having your own makes all the difference in the world. You can't live on mom and dad's experiences. Can't live on your grandparents' experience. It needs to be yours. And the neat thing about the kingdom of God and the history of God, it seems like God has determined that every generation has a visitation so that every generation has their opportunity to say yes to God. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 11, I wanted to come to you that I might impart some spiritual gift to you. In 1 Timothy 4:14, he said, do not neglect the gift of God which is within you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. In both of them talks about gift. In 2 Timothy 1:6, he said, fan in the flame the gift of God that's within you through the laying on of my hands. These three passages, as well as Hebrews chapter 6, 1 and 2, which talks about the six elementary teachings or foundational, most important teachings of the Christian faith. The third one is the doctrine of baptisms, including the baptism of the Spirit. And the fourth one is the laying on of hands, which was for blessing, healing, and impartation, at least those three, and identification or some others. But this is very biblical, what I'm sharing with you. I needed to get some scriptures out there because I get accused every once in a while of just telling stories. And I plead guilty. You know, I plead guilty. But I want you to know those stories, I have faith in them. And the importance of the story is that when I talk about the scripture, then I can say what God did, he still does. He didn't stop. He's still doing it. Because it's one thing to look at, God used to do that, but he quit doing that, then you won't have faith or hunger for the visitation. And the stories are to back up the truth of Scripture. Now, the Bible says God watches over his word. And we've shared four scriptures from his word. And he is going to watch over that to bring him to pass. I'm speaking about the subject of being filled with the Spirit and being activated in the gifts of the Spirit. He's gonna do both today. Some people are gonna be filled for the first time. And it's not just adults, it can be your kids. When you have a major visitation on the adults, get ready. He'll wanna touch your kids too. I remember in the visitation of God in my Baptist church, 2 weeks later, he touched the teenagers and children, including my oldest son, which at the time was my only child, our only child, Josh. I think he was like 3 years old or four, something like that. And we set him up on the serving bar between the kitchen and the educational building and the rest of it. And he just went out, like, seated. And he was out for 45 minutes. I mean, three-year-olds, boy, don't do that. They just don't. The same meeting that happened, a little 11-year-old girl who had been instrumental in her 14-year-old sister getting healed of spinal bifida, seizures, and hydrocephalic condition the night before, or the week before. She was in the old office in the old building, and I heard, as I walked by in the dark, and the light was turned off, I heard her crying. I turned on the light. My name was Samantha. I said, "What's wrong?" She said, I don't know, but I'm shaking. My hands are just electrified. You have to understand, I had no experience in this up to 2 weeks before. We're all learning, but I had enough sense to know that's God. And I took her over to the educational building, and I said, "Samantha, this is God. I want you to see something." And one of my deacons, no, it was actually a trustee. He's like a fullback football player in high school. He came in. I said, "Samantha," she's seated in a chair, "lift your hand up like that." When she did, power God hit him. He started going over like that. Here come another deacon and got behind him. Now we got two of them going over. Then here come another deacon. We got three of them going over. Here come another deacon. And we got a trustee and three deacons, and they all hit the floor because 11-year-old girl who's got this power in her hand has got her hand extended like that. In visitations and in revival, unusual things happen. That's why if you have ever lived through a period of like that, you can never be satisfied for normal churchianity. You just can't. And most of the time, the people who were children or young people in the last major move of God become key leaders in the next move of God because they have seen the power of God. And they know the difference between visitation and revival and normal church life. Now, I'm not against normal. Church is important. It's so much more fun living in and experiencing and living Christianity in the season of visitation when there's just such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. More can be done in a day of revival than in 10 years of not having revival. I want to prophesy to the church. I didn't do this in the first service. You got to tell them. I have a friend who's the pastor of it was about 400 Baptist church first time we went there. Now there's 8,000 in his church. There's 8,000 more in daughter churches in their city planted by this church. And over 1,800,000 people in Brazil that are in small groups through their multiplication and leading with other pastors. When I went back after 15 years, I said, "Pastor Paulo Mazzoni, what do you want?" He said, "When you came last time and we had like 400 people, we were so touched. We were discouraged that had problems. And God so touched us that in the last 15 years, we have grown to 8,000 daughter churches, 8,000 more. Randy, we have discipled 16,000 people." And he said, "And we're exhausted. We need what you brought last time for this generation who have never had that experience. And we had it again. God came again. And a generation that had never seen that outpouring, it happened. And we're looking forward to going back again this next December. But here's the prophetic word. I believe you're getting ready to come into a season of exponential growth. And God will give you as many people as you can disciple. God will give you as many people as you can disciple. And that's going to be one of the things that how do we take care? What would you do if within 2 or 3 years you have doubled in size? That's a question I believe God is going to ask you. How will you handle such quick growth? Because when the fire falls, there's a harvest. And I believe we're on the edge. If we believe, I remember Bob Jones in a season of time that he said, revival's coming. And here was his word, get the nurseries ready. And he wasn't meaning for your 2 and 3 year olds. He was meaning get the nurseries ready. How are you going to take care of the baby Christians? How are you going to care for them and disciple all these baby Christians? So he will give you as many as you can take care of. So Lord, we say yes and amen. Unusual growth. In Jesus' name, amen. When the fire of God falls, nobody has to tell you the fire of God just fell. When the fire of God falls, the presence, the Holy Spirit falls, it gets noisy with weeping or laughing or people experiencing inner healing and they're screaming not because they're demonized but because God is right then touching the deep scars of their life and sovereignly healing them. God wants to make every one of you an ambassador because that's what you really are. That's your job description. We are ambassadors of reconciliation. And so much of us worry, I don't know how to present the gospel very well. It's also in demonstration as well as words. But when there are healings, but people don't know who healed them, it's not enough just to meet people and pray for them and heal them and then not tell them as just done it in the name of Jesus. There has to be an understanding of enough of the gospel to be able to hear his voice, move in his gifts, step out in faith because he set you on fire. You've got to do it. I remember Deanne, when she was touched, I went back to where she worked as an assistant head bookkeeper to bank. And when we first went back in, I remember two or three of her friends, when she is, taking care of something, they said, come here. And I went over where she is at, they were at, and they said, can you tell us what happened to your wife? I said, what do you mean, what happened to my wife? She says, she's different. She volunteered to open up the bank with prayer. She won't stop talking about Jesus. She keeps telling us all these things. She's just so different. What happened to her? I remember on the way home, I asked her, I told her what they had said. I said, what do I tell them? She said, Randy, I said, so why are you talking so much more about Jesus than you were? You already been saved. You got saved in the revival. It's called to preaching. And she said, I knew God as my Savior. But now, I know him not only as my Savior, I know him as my healer because she'd been healed. I know him as my baptizer because she'd been filled with the Spirit. I have so much more to talk about now than I had before. Visitation, revival. A couple of years ago, I was doing a meeting with, and I had invited Todd White to be one of my speakers. And he told me that he had prayed for 700 people and nobody had been healed. But after the visitation that happened to him, sitting there about where Casey's at, actually over in those empty seats, he was right there. The Spirit of God fell on him. And he was sweating, shaking, so much electricity going through him. It was scaring him. He thought he was going to die. And I had to step down to see what God was doing. I walked over there and looked between the aisles because he's laying on the floor. And he said, get away from me. Get away from me. God is going to kill me. And I have seen this before. So I said, you're not going to die. You may think so, but nobody's died yet. More, more. I love it. More God. And so in that meeting, he told me, he said, Randy, I never had a healing. I did not know that until after that. The week after that impartation, I started seeing healing. And then Charity Cook, who works for me and has for like many, many years, actually, she said, Randy, Todd's wrong. You see, before he got out of the life center, my mother was sitting outside in a chair with really bad knees. And we just asked Todd if he'd pray for her. And he stopped and prayed for my mother's knees, very bad. Instantly, she was healed. Todd did not know that he had his first healing before he got out of the building. That's the difference an impartation can make in your life. I've talked about it before, and forgive me if I tell a story you've already heard, but God is right over here. I found out a while ago at VOA in Life Center, about right in here, Dina Van Hull, who's a missionary to China, was called to China as the Spirit of God is visiting her right here. And right over there, Chris Gore, he told me, he said, why don't you talk about me as an example of a person that got healed and received an impartation in your meeting? I said, well, Chris, I didn't know you were. He said, yes, I was praying for the sick for a long time. I wasn't seeing hardly anything till that meeting where the impartation came. That's when it started. Oh. To know that you've been used of God actually is a humbling thing. To know that God spoke through clay or Balaam's ass is a humbling thing. It really is. And I worry sometimes when I tell stories like this that people may think, I think I'm something. I know what I am. I know I can't do anything. I know that it's all God, but I also know that over the years I've learned to see what he's doing. And I love it. People come to me all the time, they read a book or something. Pray for me, lay hands on me. I know that it's not my hands laying on you is going to do anything. It's God. But sometimes you read and he can give you faith, but there's still these sovereign times of visitation. I remember I was touched when Blaine was in a meeting with me. I just felt so much electricity and I'm shaking and everything. And the next major impartation, I was on the floor and I was screaming, I was sweating. I was actually scared I might die, literally. I'm not kidding. And it's the most powerful experience I've ever had. But I know, because I had the experience, that other times, many other times, I stood under those same teachers, whether it was Wimber or Blaine or others, and wanted to be touched again. But it wasn't. I remember at first, it seemed like every meeting I went to for like 3 or 4 times was just like, I was touched. Dan was touched. It was this wonderful season. And then I remember we were at Jim Hilton was a big famous Baptist pastor in Texas and Fort Worth area. And John Wimber was teaching. And they'd outgrown the church and moved to the high school, only place big enough for the crowd. And John said, everyone who wants to receive, come out on the gym floor. Man, I ran out on the gym floor because the last 3 or 4 times that there had been any prayer of impartation, I actually got touched. And I'm standing there full of faith because this has been my experience. God's been touching me every time. And John says, come, Holy Spirit. And I'm waiting. I don't feel anything. And then I begin to hear thud, 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 thud. Ah! You know, people screaming, bodies hitting the gym floor. I open my eyes, look around. People all around me is falling down, shaking, crying. I said, Lord, what's wrong with me? And he said, you're already full. I've already filled you. It's time to give away what you've received. And so I said, all right, So I went to pray for some people, and everybody's touching. It was just falling down. I remember I got to this one woman. She's like 9.5 months pregnant. I said, oh, gosh, this is really going to be serious. And I'm making sure, you know. And then I said, God, giving it away is almost as great as receiving. The point of that story is these types of experiences are not that common. I've been a Christian 52 years. I've been in ministry this November, be 50 years. I've had three of these very powerful experiences. I've had hundreds of thousands of feeling his presence, of the tears flowing, of hands tingling. But only three. Two, actually, with the electricity that hurt. Had to work not to fall on the floor. I mean, literally, oh my God. And one where I thought I could die. And then the third one that had so much power right before Toronto was peace. I was about to have a nervous breakdown. And he touched me with peace. So heavy, I could barely move. As a result, I got to do what John had heard the Lord say. Going to go around the world and pray for people. And people are going to be activated in gifts and filled with the Spirit. That is the calling, the major calling on my life, because in that, when people receive such a powerful impartation, and it's a sovereign thing, they reach thousands, hundreds of thousands. Three people we prayed for, each one led 1 million people to the Lord in the first 15 years. And it's been 26 now. I don't know how many they've led to the Lord. And so I believe God, in preparation for what's about to happen. I mentioned that Charles, Dan, and I, and Ann, we were all saved or called to preach in the Jesus movement. It was a revival. Charles and I were talking in a break. And then we got to experience the third wave revival in the 80s. And then we got to be a part of the Toronto revival, the 90s revival. Three major outpourings of the Holy Spirit. And what I am so excited about, I'm going to live long enough to get on at least one more and maybe two. Because he keeps coming about every 20 years, you know, very powerfully. So I'm believing for right on the verge of one now, and then maybe right near the end of life to be able to see it again. Because a lot of people in the Pentecostal revival who were touched around 1946 and 47 and 45, some of the key leaders were prophesying, we are on the verge of a revival. I may not get to see it, but you will. And within 1 year, the power of the Holy Spirit fell. And most of those people I'm thinking about, those four, they had already died. But it was like there was a new mantle that was on them coming upon another generation, the Moses Joshua syndrome. It's weird when God shows up. I mean, weird things start happening. It's not normal. I remember one time we had a prophetic conference, first or second we ever had in St. Louis. And it was the most prophetic day we've ever had in the history of the church. I'll put it this way. As far as the congregation, this was not our seeker-sensitive Sunday. This was the least seeker-sensitive service you could have ever been in. I mean, it was just weird. Dan and I were standing back to back, and the people all surrounded us, and they're praying for us, and we fell out, both of us, at the same time. There's so much glory on me, I can't get my head off the ground. I'm stuck to the floor, and people are dancing and singing, and there's weirdness going on, and And I get this impression, there's some people here that hasn't been to church in years, and they want to give their life to Jesus. And I'm thinking, God, this would be the weirdest service we've ever had for somebody who want to give their life to Jesus. But I asked for a mic, and they put the mic down here. I'm flat on the floor. I said, there's somebody here, you haven't been to church in years, and you want to give your life to Jesus, and you can't. I wasn't sure what that meant. A couple right over there lifted up their hands. And some people came to him. They're crying. He's vice president of a company. They hadn't been to church, I think, in 28 or 32 years. They enjoyed not cutting the grass, but smoking the grass. And the Lord would take care of that over time. And, you know, we didn't have to worry about it. He cleaned them up. But anyway, they take the mic to them, and they're crying. And this is what they said. This is her first time to church in 28, 32 years. We came because Annie Shelton had invited them at Walmart to come, a divine appointment. And so they came. And as they're seated there in the midst of all the weirdness, they began to cry. And they said, this is real. We're just so sick of going to church when we did, and it didn't seem like there was reality to it. But this is so real. And they said, we want to give our lives to Jesus, but we can't because we're stuck. We cannot stand up. There's this weight of glory on us, and we are stuck in our seat, but we want to give our life to Jesus. So somebody came with a microphone, and they're repenting in their seat, and she started the biggest ministry, one of the biggest ministries to the poor in our church and in the city of St. Louis. This couple hit their chair. They became part of the worship team. Their children became part of the worship team. They just were so powerfully used because they were touched. When people are touched in revival, they last longer.
That's right.
When people kind of, oh yeah, I'll come and raise my hand, whatever. There's like, you know, it's a really, really low retention rate. I just believe it's so exciting when people can be touched by the presence of God. I've seen lay people touched who later, because of the power of God was so strong, they ended up in the ministry. I've seen ministers so touched that were ready to quit and told us on the trip that we were on, if God doesn't touch me, I have nothing left to give. Two of them, both vineyard pastors, 30 years in ministry, said, if we're not touched, we both are going home and we're going to resign our churches because we have nothing left to give. We're not backslidden, we're burned out. And God touched them on that meeting and took them into the glorious, most glorious season of their life, starting in their late 50s, early 60s. I believe it's time to give the invitation. I have 9 stories. I've only given you 2 of them. But we don't need any more. Other than this, I want to encourage you for your schools, for your people. Last week, a former student of ours at Global School Supernatural Ministry, a woman, a very young woman, she came up to me and I was introduced by the assistant director of the school. I think she graduated just a few years ago. This young woman is leading crusades of scores of thousands in India, in Africa, and the Philippines. Another story of multiplication, and I knew nothing about it till last week. But when she came, she's just like you. Just like you. I'm going to ask everyone here to stand. And I'm going to pray for the fire to fall, for the Spirit to come upon you, to activate gifts that maybe you already move in, but you're gonna hit a new level of frequency and intensity and specificity. And for others, I've always heard others talk about, but I've never had that experience. It's gonna start because there is going to be an activation today in people who have, I want that, but I've never experienced it. For others, you've been saved, but you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit or baptized in the Spirit. And that's gonna happen. And in addition to that, it will be an opening up into seeing and hearing what the Spirit's doing better and moving in his gifts with greater authority and power. I'm gonna ask, this is what I say when I'm down in Brazil, I say to my team, listen, I want you to help me pray. I'm saying that to the staff here. But if this is one of those sovereign visitations for you, then I don't want you to help me. I don't want, be Martha unless you're having visitation. And if you're having visitation, don't be Martha, be Mary. Because these are rare. And when they come, we turn toward it. So I give you that, I'm gonna give you that permission. Secondly, if you begin to feel heavy, if you begin to feel teary-eyed, maybe tears just start coming, if you begin to feel your hands getting cold, getting hot, electrified, tingling like your hands and arms have gone to sleep, if you begin to feel just this heat on you that made me, why am I so hot? It's not natural heat. Paul and I, we saw a Baptist pastor sweat through his clothes, took him about 3 hours, knocked to the floor, and literally, pastor of a huge Baptist church in Brisbane. And I saw that, I mean, I didn't see it, but Paul told me something like that happened to him when Blaine prayed for him. And so sometimes it's heat. But I wanted to, because I met a couple of people a while ago when we prayed, especially a young guy. His hands were cold. And I wanted him to, I mentioned heat, but sometimes when the Spirit comes, it's your hands get like, you can't even move them, they get cold. So if you have any of these signs that happen, then I want you to come to the front as close as you can. And if you begin to feel like you're getting weak, and if I get to you and I'm gonna pray for you, I actually want you to get on your knees, but not till I get to you, because you know I don't want you worrying about your knees hurting and wanting to get up. So you know, when we get to you, because we just don't want anybody to fall on anybody or get hurt in any way. And it's just an honoring thing. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for what you're about to do. I thank you for your divine plan that you have for this church. I thank you that you've brought it to this season. I thank you for the new day that's coming. I thank you, God, that for what you're about to do. In the name of Jesus, I bless the people. I say, open up the windows of heaven, send your angels into this meeting and release the gifts of your Holy Spirit and fill people with a fresh or first baptism or filling of the Holy Spirit. So Lord, I wanna get out of your way and quit talking and just believe you're about to do what I just prayed. So now, Lord, come in Jesus' name.